All right, so we last sat down with you, Razor, and the Morning Brew people, the Morning Brew crew, a week ago after a Sunday night game at TD Garden against a Canadian team from the Western Conference. And the Boston Bruins lost that game 4-0 to the Calgary Flames. Tonight, we sit down with you after the Bruins beat the Vancouver Canucks. In anything that was, it wasn't out of Picasso. It was not beautiful. But they find a way to win, especially with a very good third period performance. They play, I guess, winning hockey. Would that be fair to say? As we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor. It's been a nice week in the sense of family and friends and Thanksgiving, but I've missed you, Razor. How are you doing, buddy? Doing
good. All right? Yeah, we had it feels like a week ago was 3 months ago at this point. Good week. Busy. Glad it was fun. Thanksgiving's fun. Looking forward to Monday too, though. Yeah.
Back in a routine for a couple of weeks. Speaking of a routine, the Bruins are getting in a routine with regard to beating teams that they should beat, right? That's what we've, mm-hmm. We've documented what 10 of their 11 wins against teams that they should beat, but yet struggling against teams that are above them, that are better than them. I asked you this before, but I'll ask you this again. Now that we've had a couple of more games to view, is this just what the Bruins are, or are they a team that guys like Brad Marchand, who was spectacular in Sunday's game, and we will get to him soon, says, look, and I'm paraphrasing here, they need to continue to figure out, need to continue to gel, they need to continue to be a little patient, all that stuff. So I asked you a week ago, I'm going to ask you again, because we've seen the peaks and valleys of this team in these last three games.
Yeah, no, I'm with Brad 100%. I've, if anything, this week strengthened my view of them having the ability, and I believe they will figure out a way to beat these better teams. That to find a way against Vancouver when they didn't have their best. That's what we're used to seeing from this group. To beat up on Buffalo the way they did, the bounce back, Calgary walloped them. There's team struggling. They go in. The top line was horrible. They go in and get 4 points in the first period, and game was over before you knew it. And they dominated the Rangers in the first period Friday. Absolutely dominated. Should have been 3-0. Shesterkin made some big saves. Rangers score on a bad icing play late in the first period. The game should have been over in the first period. So a little unlucky, then similar to, the winning way tonight against Vancouver, they found a way to win. I think they've kind of found a way to lose in some of these games against the better teams as well. So it goes both ways. I'm still confident in this group. There's a long way to go. There's a few things that are bothersome, but at the end of the day, the loss against the Rangers, the loss against Edmonton Oilers, those are games that I think they find a way to pick up as we go forward.
Well, I hope so. I don't know if I have your confidence, buddy. It's not that I'm giving up. I'm not waving. I don't have a white towel to wave here by any stretch. But I don't know if the team constructed as is right now, and I think this is kind of a bit of a broken record, I still look at that D crew. And by the way, I'm happy that Bruce Cassidy in Sunday's game stuck with Zboril and Riley. I did not like Mike Riley's game against the Rangers on Black Friday. I didn't. Thought he was all right against, he was better against Vancouver. I thought Zboril was much better. And that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. And you have to, sometimes you have to stick with it. You can't make every game the end all be all. That's always a thing that, fans, I think, get caught in that more than coaches, and that's just part of the gig, right, for both. But I still don't look at that D and say this is going to be a regular shutdown type of D. And they need some of that, Razor, especially against those better teams that you're talking about that they should or you hope that they can be able to beat.
Yeah, they do, and they're gonna have to find it somewhere. I mean, it's pretty obvious they don't have it in Providence. Right. But they can get by with what they have. They should have won. My point is they should have beat Edmonton. They had 3-2 lead against Edmonton. They lost in the last 8 minutes of the game. Right. They should have beat the Rangers the other night. Those two wins, all right, let's just play what if. The two games that they should have won. I watched. I was there. I was in the building. That makes them 13-6 right now, or 13-5 right now. Okay, so there's going to be games that they win. That they're winning all the games they should, and that's the important part of this time of year. It really is. And the games that the teams are playing a little bit better, you can find ways to do that. So, yes, I don't think they win the Stanley Cup with the defense that it is right now, but mm-hmm. I like the fact that, I mean, Zboril coming in and being this guy, Zboril can't come out of the lineup now. You play with him, you deal with the random mistakes that he makes the rest of the season, but he's legit. He can play. The Riley situation is going to be a little more fluid. I think he's the one now that is the Riley Clifton up and down kind of ship mm-hmm. that they're on. But I like the fact that Zboril's checked in. And yeah, now that you look for that big, the guy they grow on trees, that big left-handed defenseman, that 6'4", 220 that shuts everybody down.
I got
that
one.
Nobody else in the league wants.
Well, yeah, that's the problem. Yeah. Everybody's going to want Ben Chiarot because, you know, he is.
Absolutely. He's the guy and he's going to be worth, right. you know, a ransom. Right.
He's going to be worth more than he actually is. But
absolutely.
Given that Montreal is going to have to do something, and we speak to you now after Jeff Gorton has been officially named the hockey director there, you know, director of hockey ops or executive, whatever he is, you know, I'm thrilled for Gorts, by the way, mm-hmm. got a chance to work with him a bit at the NHL Network. And wouldn't it be apropos? It's not going to happen. If he were to make a trade with the Bruins for a defenseman that they need, not going to happen
way.
At all there. No,
Montreal Canadiens, Boston Bruins do not make deals. Just don't.
So let's get right to goaltending. Let's just start with that. Swayman ends up starting a couple in a row due to a tweak of something by Linus Ullmark, which couldn't have been anything more than the most minor of minor. Because he was fine in the game against Vancouver. When I say he was fine, he wasn't perfect execution, but physically he was fine. So, you know,
well, and Swayman, he backed up. That's even more so.
And he backed up.
You don't back up if you can't play, if it's impossible to play, you don't back up. If you tweak something and you cannot play in any way whatsoever, then they bring somebody in there. If you are sitting on the bench, then you are available. They're just giving you some rest, hopefully.
Well, I don't want to go too much into this. I mean, sorry for the coughing and sneezing. All of a sudden, it's like I get home and I'm allergic to this. But let me ask you that though, being, you know, former goalie. When a guy says he tweaked something, but yet he can back up and he can, I mean, does that send the wrong message to your teammates?
No, I don't think so to your teammates. I mean, guys are, and especially, I mean, listen, they've had Tuukka for a long time. I mean, guys, goalies have to be perfect for the most part. And guys don't pay attention to that very much. Might be one thing if they come in and game six of the Stanley Cup Finals, the starting goalie can't play, but he can back up. That might be, but this time of year, now it's guys are just playing. You know, it might be something to watch later down the season, I guess. If it's a consistently like happening, then you start to, guys are like, what is, you know, but one off is all right. No big deal.
Okay. All right. Let's start with Ullmark then. Didn't seem like he was sharp early on in the game on Sunday. I will give him credit. He was sharp. He got better in the third period. He made winning saves. He played winning hockey, to use Bruce Cassidy's term. But I didn't love his body positioning language, so to speak, in that first two periods. Rebound control, am I being too harsh or am I accurate on that assessment?
Yeah. No, everybody's being too harsh. I think so. You've already talked about the D and their shutdown inability. And if pucks are going to the net, they're not the best at tying up sticks right now. I think he made a bunch of big saves in the second period. I don't think the goal that slid under him, it was an odd breakdown play where he's got to hold his feet there, and it just happened to squeeze under him after it went through a few bodies. He made a couple really big saves on the power play. I thought
very much so.
You know, again, it doesn't look the same as Tuca. It's not going to look the same. It's going to look a little clunky at times, but this is what he does, and this is what he's done for a few years now, where he gives up two goals on 31 shots, 33 shots. That's big time goaltending for your team. And so again, it's not going to look the same. He made a huge save on Besser in the first period, that glove save. He doesn't catch it. Looks a little odd, looks a little weird, but he makes those saves. And we just have to kind of, I think, settle into what that looks like. And it's not going to look the same as Swayman. There's going to be some rebounds, but the rebounds are right in front of him. He's big. He can get in front of those. It's not the big kickout rebounds that we've seen from Swayman in the last few games from him.
Yeah. He seems to, my uneducated eye, though, he seems to catch the puck a little differently, his hand position. And so it looks like he's not snapping it. It's out in front of him a little bit more. At least it just looks different. And by the way, I understand. It's like it's no different than how a baseball player catches the ball. You know, they all have a little different style. Goaltenders all have a different style with how they catch a puck too.
Yeah, he's a little overhand. He catches it a little bit out in front, little bat catcher-like, rather than thumb up in the air. And that's just, I mean, again, he's a bigger guy, so he has to get lower. Those pucks are coming at a different angle for him because he's so tall. Everything's lower, you know, so you're not going to have that big extension. So, you know, and listening to him, it sounds like he feels like his game's in a good spot. He seems like an honest guy about this. He's talked about not feeling comfortable already in the few months he's been here. So I think it's, again, 2-1 game makes a big save on the breakaway. Everyone can go on about Marchand, but that goes in, the game's over. We know, like, that garden empties, everybody drops, the game's over. So those are big plays that we haven't necessarily seen the whole season. And we've talked about that the goaltending's been good, not great. That I thought we have to at least give them credit for making those big saves and getting the win. I think that was a harder win than some of his other ones.
I'd agree. I would agree about that. I will say, I thought, Vancouver played well the other night, even though they lost to Columbus. They dominated them. I thought they played well again tonight. On Sunday night, I thought they showed some gumption, whether it was Connor Garland, just trying to do everything, being the Mass native out there, and some other guys too, getting to the front of the net. I thought they played hard. I thought they played well. And it's a mindset type game.
Yeah, and to that point, those games are hard for goaltenders when you're playing a team that has a bunch of talent, but you know you're supposed to win. Everyone, you're going into that game, everybody's saying the Bruins need to win this game. They can't lose to a team like this. Can't lose it, but they have really good hockey players on their team. It's the National Hockey League. So as a goaltender, you know, they can score, but you also know you're supposed to win this game 2-1 or 4-1 or whatever it is, but you're looking at it, and any day Pettersson can score whenever he wants. Any day Hughes can come out and have a great game. Any game Garland can go out and play a great game. So it's a tough game for a goaltender from that respect as well. So I might be giving more credit for Ullmark from that point of view, because I know what those games are like when you're supposed to go out and beat a team that's really struggling. But on the other side, I'm looking at the lineup saying, well, that guy can score. I got to worry about that guy. That guy's good. Besser can shoot it. Hovart can go to the, like, they have guys that can play. They do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do, but they're having hard time as a team.
But they suck. Yeah. That's right. As a team, they suck. Yeah. So I know I need to win too.
Yeah. Be curious to see if anything happens there soon. I got to imagine something will. I'm a Travis Green fan myself. I think as a coach, he's pretty good. I do. Yeah. I think this is a bad scenario in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's not.
What about Swayman? What about Swayman? And you know, he had the Buffalo game, good, obviously. You know, he's been giving up rebounds though. The Ranger game, you know, I got to imagine that Ullmark starts on Tuesday night against Detroit. I'd have to think so, right? It's the old we got to get him on a run. We got to get him into a rhythm. But what about Swayman's game? Are we still at the? Of course, he's very young, but are we still at the? You know, he's got some stuff that needs to be. I mean, is he kicking out the rebounds too much still? I mean, is he getting any better at that? Is he, you know, can you tell what he's been working on?
Not really. I mean, I think it was a tough week to work on stuff. I think this is the week he needs to work on it for him playing, you know, not getting, that's a tough start Wednesday night. He did a good job. You know, the first goal, I don't think was his fault. They had, Okposo up against Bergeron. I mean, I'm going to criticize him. He sagged in way too deep. That shot's coming way too close. He didn't close gap. That's a tough play. That's a tough start going in, not knowing you were going to play. And then the Ranger game, he made some saves, but didn't look comfortable. See, that one, he didn't look comfortable to me. He looked less comfortable in that game than I've seen him look altogether.
You think that was a big in-the-moment type game?
It might have been. He might have been. It just wasn't. I don't know. There was something off. Just something a little off from that. And it could have been the big third Thanksgiving game, Rangers, you know, a little bit. Whoa, this is a big one, and I've thought about it. So this week, work on it. Definitely Allmark Detroit. Definitely, I'd probably go back to Allmark no matter what on Thursday as well.
I agree.
Looking at it, just let him have 3-4 games in a row here and see if he can put this together, because he's played well the last two games he's played.
Yeah, they need him too. They need to give him that chance right now. Now you've got, some interesting games coming up. Detroit is a feisty team. They are, whether it's Mort Sider on the back end or Lucas Raymond up front, Larkin, Bertuzzi. Bertuzzi's going to be a pain in the ass all night. You know it.
Of course.
They need to get him. They need to get Ullmark going. One guy who tried to get everybody going again and did it beautifully was Brad Marchand. I mean, spectacular game.
Crazy.
On Sunday, hadn't been scoring, I guess, goals as much, but still putting up points all the time. One of the best performances, and he's had some great ones this year. I thought Sunday night was one of his best, maybe if not his best overall performance, from a absolute monster physical performance, emotional, and in control. That was the other thing. He was in control all the time. I felt it took a while for his other teammates to get dragged into the mosh pit, you know, as well. But once they did, the little ball of Marshy was instrumental. I loved his goal, even though, Pastrnak rocketed off the, it hit it so hard that you didn't even hear it hit the post. It hit it so perfectly.
No.
And then Brad had the presence of mind to be on the interior like he likes to be, but then he got it, brought the puck back, and sniped it. I mean, he took literally an extra half a second to compose himself, and he saw it then. He saw the opening. Halak was down. Good play by Nick Foligno, too, not to have any goalie interference. But, I mean, Brad was amazing. And then his pass, I mean, he absolutely undressed the youngster. Was it Burroughs? That he undressed and out of the and the power play. Holy smokes, what a move. Those are the type of performances that you remember as a fan, as a broadcaster, whatever, that you say, I know what I'm watching. I'm watching a player that, you know, not just is great, but can take over a game.
I would have put him there at the end of the second. His physicality in the second period, him recognizing and feeling, and I know all the other, you know, again, you touched on all the stuff in the third. It was a thing of beauty, but to go to the second period and him turning up the physicality and even him corking Ryan Reeves on Friday afternoon in the first period.
Reeves did not like
he's
that
the only
either.
Oh, he was mad. He was steaming mad. He was absolutely steaming mad, and he knew he could do nothing about it. And what he brings, and I know Cassidy talked about it, I watched his press conference after the game tonight, trying to expect that from some of these other guys. And, you know, to put it on you, like, we've talked about it a little bit, but you need Frederick. You need these young guys. You need these other guys. This is how you make it in the NHL. This is how you need to play to get in the NHL. And Brad Marchand did this without all the superlatives in the third period. He did what he did in the second period on the fourth line to make himself a career in the NHL, make himself a career in the Providence. So he knows what it is. And there's too many of these other guys not doing it on this roster.
I agree.
That's the issue. And for them not to see this perfect example of how to build and grow your NHL career, it seems to be frustrating for the coaching staff. It seems to be frustrating for the organization on a certain level. And I'm curious if you feel that or see that coming from the other side. And even maybe Brad and Patrice, are these guys getting frustrated by it as well?
I think, first of all, yes, we talked about it. I specifically talked about that after too, that it's not that you can't have your all-world player doing it, but he can't be the only one doing it, as you said. You need to have other guys going out there and saying, I am so jacked up from what this amazing player has done. I don't want to let him down. I want to get out there. I want to kick somebody's. I want to run over somebody as cleanly as he done. And by the way, every single one of his hits would be what you would put into a video to teach children how to hit, how to body check that way. I mean, separation galore. I don't know if it's in enough of the other players' DNA. I just don't. You know, I'm going through the guys in my head. I mean, Taylor Hall should be taking a page out of this. Taylor Hall, I didn't notice him much on Sunday night. I didn't notice him. I mean, times on Friday at times, but not enough. Not enough. And not that he's going to crush somebody, but holy shit, he's strong enough, Taylor Hall. He's a little bull out there, and he's fast enough that he should be more physical. If you're skating, if you're moving, and you're on the inside,
you run
what's
going to
naturally happen?
You run into things.
You run into things, and that's – and that's what needs to happen more. I do think that Nick Foligno is trying to. Different type of player. He's a little bit slower, not as quick. Bleed, I thought, did a better job. Hopefully he's not hurt. Bruce Cassidy.
Yeah, that didn't look good.
He went right when it's like,
yeah, when he fixes his shoulder after he gets up, he went in and felt it and kind of shook his head like something was out of place in there.
I'm expecting some kind of dislocation, a grade one separation,
two
type
separation.
Of thing.
Yeah,
exactly. Yep. I hope it's not a collarbone. That could be even longer. I remember once I almost went into the board almost exactly like he did. I was a senior. I was playing my senior year in high school. Went in right. I'm a righty. He's a lefty. So I'm leading with that right shoulder. Almost the same exact thing. Went in right away. Knew that it was done. I was able to play with it a day. I only missed a game. We only had a couple of games left in the season where I was. I had to play. I played with it, but I played with one arm basically. So
yeah,
Anton could be out. But he was better. You know who I didn't really see that from? Curtis Lazar. I haven't seen enough, you know, and he was that. And, you know, I was a fan of that. I'd like to see more of that.
I feel like he's banged up, right? He was fighting stuff early. Feels like that more so. Because, yeah, he's not afraid of that. He just seems like he's not getting to his spot.
Right. Well, so, yeah, you're right. There's not enough others, though, that do it. I think the other guys, as great as Tomáš Nosek has been, that ain't his game, bud. That's not his game.
No.
His game is about containment and stick work. And so I'd love to see somebody else come along and do something. I mean, you know, Frederick was better in Sunday night's game. He was. He was better. Now, can he do – it wasn't great in the faceoff circle, but that's okay. I mean
– oh, my God. That's – I mean – I know. And usually I don't really dig in on the faceoffs. But I literally by the third period, I was like, there's no way this guy's won a faceoff all night. So I went into the stats and saw that he was 1-for-7. Holy smokes. All right. We know what he's doing tomorrow morning.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Tuesday.
You want to play center, win a faceoff or two. You can't say you want to be center and get smoked like that.
But he was trying at least. I thought he felt he was trying to make contact.
Yeah.
You know, I thought the physical presence of Pastrnak was good. That was good. You know, I mean, he was better. We got to do something about all those sticks that he breaks. I wish I could sit down and talk with David like I normally did in the past. And we've already talked a bit about his technique, et cetera, you know, a little different. I feel like Razor, he's hitting too much ice behind the puck. Too much ice. And he, you know how he leads with the toe, basically. And it's not leading per se, but it's a different set for his stick blade on the ice. I just feel like he's taking too much ice almost. And he gets so much onto it that the sticks are just snapping. He's obviously strong. I'd love to talk to him.
Yeah, he's not giving them a chance.
Yeah. Love to talk to him about it. What did you think of what did you think of the development of Jakub Zboril? Like I said, let's go back to him quickly. Like you say, you can't come up, but
no, I'm pumped. I really like him. I really like him. I think he's a good player. I think he can certainly play in this league at this point.
So is it just the fact it's the 23, 24 year old maturity that's just coming through and being pushed back down, so to speak? Is that what you think is happening?
Yeah, I think he, yes. Yeah. And I think he also is owning it now. I think he's like, I'm going to play. That's what it looks like to me. It doesn't look like he's as tentative. He looks like he did prior to his injury last season, where he was just playing. He was going and playing. And I think that's why you have to keep him in the lineup. You have to keep building him, because I think his ceiling's so much higher than everybody else back there.
Hmm.
What regarding about Riley, regarding Clifton.
Yeah. In that last pair. I would agree. Yeah. I mean, Riley to me just looks, I don't know. He looks inconsistent. He's playing inconsistent. He just doesn't look like he's as engaged to me, to my eye. Just not as, I mean, there was some good stuff in Sunday's game where I'm like, okay, that's better. And then there was others where he just gets caught moving back instead of moving forward. What about Brandon Carlo? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, here's a guy, you know, who's 25, but seems like he's 10 years older than that. The way he at times handles himself, this, that, he's a leader, blah, blah, blah. But I really dug into the numbers, Razor, before the Sunday game, because Carlo is not a stat guy. He's not a shooter. He's not an offensive defenseman. He's not a big body checker. What am I going to talk about on Breakaway, which is what I had to do there? This is the lowest Corsi, the overall total chances for versus against when he's on the ice. He's always been like 51 or 52% or higher in his career previously. He's at 47.5% coming into Sunday's action. This is not a guy. I mean, he had created until tonight when he actually created a rebound chance, which actually – wasn't a goal because Nosek kicked it in, you know. He had only recreated one rebound chance off of his shot so far this year. He's trying to get really into the analytics of it. He's taken a ton of hits too. My eye test says it seems different, his game. Is it a result of his partner or partners, plural? Or are you seeing that he looks a little different as well?
And I'm curious if I'm leaning a little bit to the partner issue just because Grizzlick feels the same to me. Tonight I was thinking the same on Grizz watching him play. There's nothing there for me. He's another guy it's impossible not to like. He's great. I've known him since he was 11. Mm-hmm. But there's something that it's not clicking. It's just not clicking. And we've seen both of those guys be very, so much better, so much more controlling of the game, so much more impactful. So easily getting out of the zone. Yes, yeah. Just like flying out of the zone when those two guys play together and closing on pucks and then turning that into offense on the other side. And it just feels like a slog for both of those guys. It just feels like at times they're both in quicksand and just slow to make plays. And we've seen Carlo give away to Draisaitl against Edmonton. Like, it just seems hard for them. It seems really hard for them when at times they've made it look easy. So I see it. I don't know what the solution is though. That's the pro. I don't see anything technical or mechanical where you can say, all right, they just have to like do this. They just have to do this and they'll get back to their game. I don't know what that is right now. I can't see that. And hopefully the coaches do. Hopefully they see it themselves within their game, because the scary part about that is if you can't find a solution, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, but you're not getting results, that can take a little bit longer to figure it out.
Yeah. Speaking of not totally having it, I'll ask you, and I'll give my comment here on Eric Haula and Jake DeBrus not playing on Sunday. Didn't bother me for either. I don't think that they had done enough to stay and warrant staying in the lineup. That's my take. Before I ask you another question, what's your take on those two guys being sat by the coaching staff?
We just to preface, we just jumped right into this, and I know I have a sense of what the next question is going to be. So I'm going to ask you the question after I give you my take on this. Sure. Sitting upstairs on Friday, I feel like this is completely directed to the third goal the Rangers scored, and them going in on the forecheck and allowing that. Nobody took a body. Yep. No one went to the puck. And I was sitting with Kenny Linsman, who's the greatest guy to sit and watch hockey with. He's one of the smartest guys that I've ever met, the Rat. Brilliant, and talking about all the way through the game and right up until that point, talking about physicality and how some of these guys need to show a little bit more. And yep. It was instant. You could see the forecheck. They came right out of the zone. Zibanejad goes in, scores out of the air. Great play by them, but it all started at the other end. So no, I'm not surprised they got taken out. I'm not surprised there's nothing they could say watching that goal that they should stay in. I'm assuming the question is, and my question is, watching tonight, when do we cut bait? When does the time come? And Hall is not in that scenario, but when does DeBrusk, when is the point for this organization to say, all right, we've got to figure something else out. We've got to clear up some money. We've got to trade. We got to do whatever we do, because you can't keep doing this. It's not fair to everybody else.
No, I'm guessing he doesn't feel good about it. He being DeBrusk.
Nope. No, of course he doesn't. No.
You need to find a team that has a little bit of money, and you know, you don't want to trade. Are you looking to replace him just to take a contract for a contract, or are you on a young player? I think he'd be movable. I do. I think my question was really going to be before actually that, when do you cut bait, was, you know, let's just assume Bleed is out. Now, who do you put in there? Do you, you know, if Bleed's a left wing, you know, are you going to put in DeBrusk? Do you say, you know, or do you put Haula in and try him on left wing? Or do you say, you know what, screw that, we're going to call up Oscar Steen and move somebody over to the left side? Or you call up Senishin, who had a hat trick the other day in the American League. And these are all little just possibilities. I wouldn't mind seeing more of Steen. I got to be honest with you. I wouldn't mind it, especially against a team like Detroit. But I need somebody who's going to play with some damn jam against Detroit, because they're going to be scrappy as hell. They're going to be, you know, pain in the ass to play against. And you can't have soft perimeter stuff.
Sure, you can't, but you also can't have Haula and DeBrus sitting in the stands and calling up guys from the minors. That's not a winning team. That doesn't work in the NHL. At the end of the day, you need talent too. You need talent. And if these guys aren't going to work, then that's fine. But you can't just call guys up from the minors to fill in because they work harder than your talent.
Okay.
My view. And listen, I it's going to get to the point here with DeBrus where he's just like, guys, I can't, like, it gets frustrating for a player. Hall is still early on, so he can get the message, but at some point the message just doesn't resonate anymore as a player. You get beat up by it. Mm-hmm. And there is a point of no coming back. And so no, I hear you want more, but at the end of the day, you need talent out on the ice as well. You need horses. So that's where Haula needs the message. If there's only one guy going back in, I assume it's Haula, because he's the new guy and he's only had one message sent to him rather than the 15 that DeBrusk has been sent to him.
I guess, I mean, again, we're playing hypothetical here because we don't even know if Bleed will be out. My assumption is the way it looked that that's a good chance that he will be.
My assumption is you need Hall in your lineup anyways. You got to put him back in and see if he got the message.
Well, but the problem with putting Howla in is now you're moving.
Is the center and he's a right shot and.
Well, no, Howla's a lefty. He's a lefty, but you got to move Freddie out of the middle. Because you're not going to move Nosek out of the middle, are you? You're not going
to
do that.
Well, no, you move Hall on the – maybe you move Foligno to the right and Hall on the left then.
Yeah.
Put Frederick in the middle. All right, go bang.
I don't know.
Go bang.
Be interesting to see. Okay. I love
the Kenny Lindsman. You can't have those guys out of the lineup. That was my thought at the end of the day.
I love the Kenny Lindsman chat. I've talked to him a few times. And
he's the best.
You did it with a beer. I saw you. I saw your tweet about.
Oh, I had a few. Yeah, I had a few.
You did. Did you get in one at Thanksgiving?
I wasn't smoked. I was like Thanksgiving, like eating and sitting around all day, hangover. It wasn't. No, I didn't. Okay. I was very responsible actually driving home from Rentham. So I was more tired chasing kids around all day. So that's why I had my beer on Friday.
Yeah. Okay. And then you had the kids, you had all five of you at the game on Friday too.
Four of us, yeah. So my wife might not have been as responsible, so she stayed home on Friday and had the day off. So I had three kids by myself on Friday. So I treated myself to a couple beers.
Okay, good. Yeah. I had a good time at the game. Yeah, I had a good time at the game. Just took Jake. We sat in the stands for a bit and then we went over to the
next Jake. Booth. Where's Jake's what's Jake feeling about this group?
He's not he's not totally digging it right now. He's like, he's a kid, obviously an 11-year-old kid. So he lives and dies by
But they watch and they're honest. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're very honest. And the word is dust right now. I don't know if Mace is using that.
I know, man.
Dust is.
He just said that to my, he said that to Erin the other day. And she's like, oh my God, now we're dealing with these words. But she's like, I guess it could be a worse word too for someone that sucks or something that sucks.
Dust. This guy's dust. Yeah. That guy's dust. Dusty. The Bruins are dust.
Dusty. Yeah.
And they're not beating this team or that team. And it's like, you're right.
It's funny.
You're right. But it's pretty good about it. All right. So the week ahead is Bruins have Tuesday against Detroit. At home, Thursday at Nashville, a team that has been better than I thought they would be, yet I'm not sure they're going to be there being the playoff race in the end when it's all said and done. But that's neither here nor there. They're pretty good.
They're always good at home.
And they're always good at home. They seem to give the Bruins fits there. I really don't like the mustard helmets at all.
Nah,
I don't like those at all. But then Saturday, it's the Tampa Bay Lightning. So they got a couple of games coming up. Tampa Bay Lightning game will be at home. And then after that, the Bruins head on the road. We were going to have another show for you on Tuesday night. We will do it after the Detroit game. And then we will do it after, we're going to do it after the game on Saturday against Tampa, but Razor and I are going to record that one on Sunday after Razor might get in one at a holiday party. I need to hear about that too. Did you happen to see the turtleneck, by the way? Did you happen to see the turtleneck tonight?
I did. And that was aggressive. And I love it.
Oh, you did? Okay. Because,
I love it. Absolutely.
It buckled a few of the elders. It buckled. Dale loved it. Barry, listen, anytime Barry likes something that I wear, I rarely wear that again.
That's a problem.
That's not a good sign. Right. Zicello.
We should have led with. How did I not let you lead? Sorry. I was.
No, that's okay.
I missed the mark on the turtleneck because
we got to still give out the.
We got to have matching white turtleneck nights somewhere in this month for the holiday season. Red sweater.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling a show with a little sniffer of scotch. I've got three or four nice bottles. Mm-hmm. I think at Nesson, either a post game sit down at the desk because pregame we got to be a little more serious, but maybe pull a post game and maybe we can get the pipe as well. The old fashioned pipe. I'm not talking the new pipe that is legal in Massachusetts. But
that old pipe's look, dusty.
It's something different. It's just something different. So I thought you'd approve. You'd approve.
I do. Absolutely. 100% approve.
Yeah. Zicello
more often.
Z said, you know, I'm not cool enough for it. I said, I don't doubt you. I'm not. But again, taking any fashion advice or comments from Brian Zicello, yeah. You know.
I wore the sweater a couple games. Z didn't like the sweater either. So yeah, Z, I mean, as great as he is, I'm not sure.
Z's outstanding, but yes, but Hugo Boss, not. So we love you, Z. All right. Anything else that we need to get to before we wrap this one up here? The week ahead again is going to be Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. We will do a show Tuesday night, and then we'll do a show after Saturday's game. That will come out late or midday Sunday when Razor and I can get back together. If there's nothing else, Razor, then I will I'll wrap this one up. You good?
Yeah, no. Great job tonight on the broadcast. I think we knocked it out of the park tonight. I think we touched on some issues and things, but it's a good night. They won.
All right. Well, the Bruins win.
Keep winning games.
Keep finding ways to win games. Stay in it until everybody with this mass concoction of new players and new vibe. And I still say this, Bud. I'm still think that there's a little something off right now with this team. And maybe that just takes a little more time. But if they can get that figured out, maybe they will be all right. Bruins win on Sunday night, 3-2 over the Vancouver Canucks. That'll wrap this Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor up. We hope everybody has a wonderful start of the week post-Thanksgiving. Get back into the routine, and we will talk with you in the next couple of days. And as always, please, everybody, be safe, happy, and healthy. And please, enjoy that cup of coffee.